Congregation, our passage is Romans 9:30 through 10:4. Here is the word of God. What shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it, that is, a righteousness that is by faith. But that Israel who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching that law? Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Congregation, Paul is answering questions concerning the Old Testament and its relationship to his gospel that he is preaching. He has been dealing with criticisms from the Jews how his gospel matches the Old Testament promises. We have seen that he's dealt with the question of if the gospel is true and the fulfillment of the Old Testament, why are so few Jews experiencing the blessings of the gospel? Well, he raises another question in verse 30, and that is the question for our passage. And that question is, how are the Gentiles being declared righteous when the Jews were the ones trying to obey the law? Now, you understand this objection. You look around and you see that there are some very nice and moral unbelievers out there. They're trying to be good. They do not know the Lord, but they don't live totally for themselves. They're generous and friendly. And yet we know others that live most of their life for themselves. They hurt people. They do very serious sin, and yet late in life they believe the gospel, and they're the ones declared righteous. And yet the ones who are trying hard to be good, they're on the outside of the kingdom. And that's what Paul is addressing now. How is it that these sinful Gentiles are being accepted by God, but Jews who are trying to obey God are not accepted by God? And you see the apostle's answer here. Israel is trying to be accepted the wrong way. God is righteous, as Paul has pointed out throughout the book of Romans. He has created us to reflect his righteous character. He required Adam that he must be righteous to live with him forever. Adam represented all of us, and we all became sinners in him. So the question after the fall is, how does one become righteous? Because God's standards have not changed. Paul wrote that Israel pursued righteousness through the law. And here he means through the Mosaic law. And so Israel heard the commandments from Mount Sinai, from the lips of Moses, and they said, we can do this. We can obey these commandments. We will please God through the law. The problem is they were sinners by nature, fallen in Adam. They could not obey the law with sinful dispositions. It would be like trying to jump the Grand Canyon because you think you have a head start. The chasm between God and sinners is too great. He is holy and we are born sinners. And so there is no way to try to do good to attain righteousness. And so Paul is answering the question, how then are these Gentiles who never really pursued the true God? They've lived in sexual immorality and idolatry. All of a sudden, they're being declared righteous in God's sight. And yet the Jews who are trying to obey the law are not. Paul's answer, the Gentiles who are being accepted by God are being accepted the right way, which is through faith. These Gentile Christians realized they could not obey God, and so they cried out for mercy. They believed the gospel of grace, that Christ must bear their penalty and he was righteous for them. This is God's way. And then this righteousness that God requires becomes a gift because it is Christ's righteousness that is applied to us. Think of the story of Christ when he told of the Pharisee and the publican. What did the Pharisee pray? Thank you that I am not like the Gentiles. What did the publican pray? Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, that second one, went back to his house justified. He was declared righteous in God's sight. He trusted in God to save him, not in his own works. And so verse 32, Paul explains that the Israelites stumbled over the stumbling stone. Paul quotes two passages from Isaiah about this stone. In the context of Isaiah, hostile nations were advancing upon Israel. And God, through the prophet, promises to send a rock to Israel. And that rock would have two effects. For some, that rock would be their security. They would be safe through the rock. Through others, they would stumble or triple over it. In other words, the rock would be the cause of their downfall. In one of those passages that speak of this rock, the Lord himself is our rock. And so Jesus, the Lord, is our rock. That is the fulfillment of this prophecy. And so Paul is showing that the Jews who object to the gospel, that this was predicted by the prophets. He was the rock that became a stumbling stone for so many in Israel. God in the person of his son came down to Israel, offered salvation to the people. The Israelites could either believe in him for salvation or trust in their own righteousness as Jews. And that's why so many of the Jews were offended at what Jesus taught. He taught them that they needed him to die for their sins, and that there is no advantage eternally in being born Jewish, and therefore they needed forgiveness, they needed righteousness, as much as the Gentiles did. And of course, that was offensive to most of them, so they stumbled over the rock that God sent as their security, as their salvation. Now in verse 1 of chapter 10, Paul reiterates his love for the Jewish people. The fact that they have rejected the Messiah breaks his heart. And the very fact that Paul's heart is broken over their rejection, and he prays for their salvation, means that God is not done with individual Jews, even though as a nation they are no longer in covenant with God. In verse 2, Paul testifies with the problem with their zeal. Yes, they did have a zeal for God, but their zeal was not according to knowledge. The Jews, of course, were religious people. They liked talking about God. But Paul says their zeal was not according to knowledge, or we might say it this way, it was not according to truth, not according to the biblical witness. They fundamentally disagreed with what the scriptures taught about them and their sin and their need for salvation and about Christ. And so in verse 3, he summarizes their problem. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. They were ignorant that the righteousness they needed must be a gift from God because they did not have it in themselves. It must be a gift, and yet Israel refused the gift. There are times when your kids are older, let's say they're 16, and it's healthy when they want to do things on their own. They may want to drive because they've been practicing and they got their license and they say, now I want to drive everyone to church or to the store. And that's a good thing because they can do it. They've been trained. But if your 9-year-old says to you, give me the keys, Mom, I want to drive the car. Everyone get in. Well, you know now he cannot do it. He'll kill himself and you and maybe others on the road. So you tell him this is something you must do for him. Now, if he protests out of pride and throws a temper tantrum, you know that's not a good thing. He's not showing his independence, he's showing his stubbornness. And so in the same way God sent Israel the Lord Jesus as a gift, you cannot be righteous, but he can be. He is my son, whom I am well pleased. He can be your righteousness that you need. And the Jews as a whole said, no thank you, We can do this ourselves. And the Bible then calls them stiff-necked people, refusing to listen to the testimony of the Scriptures and of their need. There is only one way to attain righteousness before God, and that's trusting in the only righteous man who ever lived, the God-man Jesus Christ, who gives his righteousness freely to those who trust in him for salvation. Paul reminds them that the Jews had no excuse to reject Christ, because in verse 4 he says the entire Old Testament pointed to the need for Christ. Christ is the end of the law for those who believe. The promises pointed to Christ and the need for salvation. The sacrifices pointed to Christ. The whole sacrificial system taught them that they needed a perfect Lamb of God to take away their sins. The curses of the law reminded them that they have broken the law and they should be cursed, and therefore they will be cursed unless someone takes their curse for them. Everything in the law revealed them their need for Christ. The whole Bible is about Jesus and his salvation. Now, I want to apply this in certain ways as we close. First, I want you to note that Paul's one prayer above all else for his kinsmen in the flesh, the Jewish people, was their salvation. And that's a model to us. We pray for our children, we pray for our parents, our family members, we pray for friends, we pray for people we know, people of other religions, or maybe no religion. And it's certainly fine to pray for blessings of this life. We pray for health, we pray for good jobs, we pray for safety when they travel. But we see that the priority for us should always be praying for their salvation. For what did Jesus say? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? And so we don't simply pray for the things of this life, but more than all else, we pray for people's salvation. And the Apostle Paul certainly modeled that for us as he prayed for the Jews. Secondly, we see that you can have a zeal for God, a zeal for religion, and yet not know the Lord. Some people are zealous for the law of God politically. Some people are zealous against certain people that do not share their professed religion. Some people are zealous for religious causes, but they don't necessarily know the Lord. They are zealous for God, but with a zeal not according to truth, as the apostle describes. You need to be discerning and watch out for these people. But even more importantly, do not be these people yourselves. Your zeal, more than all else, should be for the gospel. Now, you are a sinner, and God saved you by grace. And that is what you proclaim as a Christian. You are saying, I am a sinner. I could not be righteous. God requires righteousness. And it's not enough to simply say, well, no one's perfect. Well, everyone admits that. What you are saying is, I deserve God's judgment, for he is holy. And yet God saved me through Christ. He died for my sins. He is my righteousness. And there is no other way. That is a Christian. And that, beloved, is your testimony. Amen.